Hello and welcome to Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. We pray this podcast will be a blessing to you as we look into the Word of God today. Today we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter number 37 and beginning looking at the life of a wonderful character in the Bible, a man by the name of Joseph. And he didn't start out as a man as we know him as we get to the end of Genesis, but he begins at the age of about 17 years old. And we pick up our reading this morning in Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land of wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." And the Bible says in verse number 3 of Genesis 37, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of an old age, and because he made him a coat of many colors." The story of Joseph begins for us in chapter 37, but it started 17 years prior to that. You might say this morning, why 17 years prior to that? Most people have the majority of their life molded by the time they're 17. Their personality, temperament, and a lot of their character has already been developed. And amazingly, given the circumstances, Joseph is a wonderful, godly young person with deep spirituality. I believe we would probably have to conclude that he surpasses his father and all of his brothers, even at this young age of 17, let alone his spirituality when he dies at 110. And I say that to help us realize that the good and the bad we see happening to Joseph, it didn't happen overnight. So many people today believe that their life has changed or their life will be different for the good or the bad overnight. They think, man, if this thing happens or if that thing happens, and overnight everything is just going to be different. It didn't happen to Joseph like that, and it doesn't happen to us. Think of how much you've seen or how much your life has been changed in the last 17 years. Maybe you're listening today and you're not even 17 years old. But if you are looking back, it goes by fast. There's a lot of water under the bridge, especially when you're looking at the age range of birth to 17 years old. All that happens, the development of our lives, of our character, of our temperament, our personality. I want to introduce something to you on the podcast today here in chapter 37 that we see all throughout Joseph's life. And it really is the overreaching theme of his life. In fact, I believe it may be seen in his life more than any other character in the Bible. And that's the subject of the providence of God. Genesis chapter number 50. I want to skip all the way to the end of the book in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 18, where we find the Bible records this statement and this account here. The Bible says, "And his brethren," in Genesis 50, verse number 18, "and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as this day to save much people alive." Oh, today, that is the providence of God, and that's how it relates to Joseph's life, and it's all summarized there in that one statement. God meant it unto good. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Providence is God working in our lives. There are many people today who would call themselves what they have come to term the word deist. That is, they say they believe in God, but they believe that after creation, God set the world in motion and sort of just sets back and sits still, waiting and watching for it all to unfold. And many times people believe and try to reconcile their belief in God with all the evil in the world today by claiming themselves to be a deist. But that is not the God of the Bible. All throughout the Bible, and even in our own lives, we find evidence of that, of the providence of God. And maybe no one is a better example and better proof of the providence of God than our person in our account this morning by the name of Joseph. I believe our God is big enough that he began working in my life and in your life as you're listening in eternity past. That doesn't mean that we don't have choices and that somehow he's going to force us to do something beyond our will and our desire. But it means he does everything short of that to redeem us unto himself because of his love for us and his grace and his mercy towards us. What we find in Joseph's life is not all good. By the way, not everything in your life is going to be good by our standards or by the world's standards. Sometimes we judge our lives or we judge someone else's life and the quality of it based upon whether we believe it was good. But we see how God can take something bad and use it for his purpose. Notice in Genesis chapter 37, if you're followed along in your Bible, the Bible talks about there in verse number 3 that Israel, that's Joseph's father, Jacob, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. One of the most glaring things that we see about Joseph's life, and it's really what led up to everything else, what we would say bad, was his terrible home life. Could you imagine for yourself a moment your place in Joseph's home as Joseph? Think about it. That means your father is married to two sisters who are constantly fighting for affection. In their frustration to get your affection, they give their slaves to your father to bear children in their stead because they can't give him enough children themselves. You also have a grandfather by the name of Laban that is conniving and always up to tricks. He's trying to trick your father. He's trying to deceive him. He's trying to get the upper hand in business. And there's always that tension there in the family. Hey, you've also have an uncle named Esau that has such a temperament, he could kill you one minute and hug your neck the next. You have 10 older brothers who are more like three different gangs than brothers. Then you lose your mother in your early teen years. And on top of it all, your father loves you the most because you're the son of his true love, Rachel. Can you imagine just for a moment if you were in Joseph's shoes and raised in that type of home and environment, that unbalanced love that was given to you over your home? You might be listening and you might not have a home that was anywhere near that dysfunctional, but every parent and every grandparent must guard against this type of unbalanced love. If you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, we begin to foster maybe resentment in the heart of your child towards you and towards that other sibling because of an unbalanced love and affection. Oh, this morning, beware of the things you say. Beware of how you say it as well. Beware of the words you use. Beware of the gifts that you give to one child versus the other child. We see and we find in scriptures, Jacob showered Joseph with this unbalanced favor, and it really put Joseph in a position to be naturally hated by his brothers. The Bible talks about that he has these brothers in verse number 2. He was feeding the flock with them. And he was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah. And the Bible talks about that he brought his father there, the brothers, evil report. So although Joseph is favored, he's reached the age where he has had to learn the family business. Jacob has put him in that position. If he's going to take over when Jacob is old, he has to learn everything about taking care of sheep and all the ins and outs of it and all the ins and outs of business. So Jacob sends him out to learn the business with Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Now, apparently there was something taking place that Jacob wanted a report from Joseph about, so it's sort of like he sends Joseph out there with that purpose. Now, oftentimes I've heard this preached and taught before, but don't think of Joseph as some little sort of tattletale running home just to tattletale as fast as he can back to Dad. No, I believe Joseph was put in this trusted position. I believe he was asked by Jacob to do this, to check up on the business of the family. But however needed that might have been to check up on it, do you see how it continues to put Joseph in a bad position with his brothers? I realize a 17-year-old probably had way more responsibility and wherewithal than today's 17-year-old, but parents, you ought to treat your kids age appropriately. I understand responsibility. I understand teaching them to grow up. But don't allow them to interact with adults as if they're adults. Boy, you ought to teach them to be kind. Teach your child to be responsive. Teach your child to be pleasant. But they shouldn't be allowed to act like they're on the same level as an adult. Why? Because we see in scriptures, all it does is hurt that child in the long run. Because they grow up having a knowledge of a lot of things. But sadly, could I say this? They're obnoxious with that knowledge. They talk with an adult and they converse with an adult as if they're on the same level. And they're simply not allowed to be a child. So the Bible tells us that Joseph gives an evil report of his four brothers' dealings with the family business. To add to the unbalanced love, verse number 3, Joseph is given this coat of many colors that we're very familiar with. This solidifies Joseph's status as the one who would take over the family business. I mean, Jacob is saying, I'm putting my hand of blessing upon him. I'm passing him the mantle, if you would. I'm giving him the scepter, whatever you want to call it, the keys to the business. He was in the position of authority, even though he wasn't the oldest. And Joseph stood by being given this coat of many colors to inherit most of Jacob's wealth. It tells you a lot about the character of Joseph. And even at that young age, he was able to be trusted in this position. He was obviously mature. He was honest. He was industrious. He wasn't lazy. Joseph was a man who was hated for doing good and being good. The Bible is certainly clear that those who do righteously will suffer persecution. Can I end on this note today that Joseph isn't hated for being bad and dishonest? Joseph is hated, literally, for being the best. I want us to think about that thought today. That all the events that we find ourselves getting to in Genesis chapter 37 with the life of Joseph, where we pick it up on the pages of Scripture, those 17 years didn't happen overnight. Joseph was raised in this family that God gives us an insight to. Not to copy, not to mimic Joseph's upbringing in his home life, but to see and to realize that God wants us to have a family that loves God, that is walking together with God, that's not dysfunctional and torn apart by maybe an inordinate infection towards one child because of maybe their temperament or maybe because they have more of a personality like mom has or like dad has. Oh, I want to encourage you this morning, listener, to have a family that is God-centered, that is Christ-centered, and have a family that raises all of the children together for serving God, for being a blessing to the people of God and the house of God. Teach your children, raise your children to be honest and industrious, that could be given the keys to a business, that could be given all the responsibility that Joseph was. And I promise you, you'll raise a child that is a wonderful person to be around. Yes, they might be hated, but I guarantee you they won't be hated for being bad and dishonest. They might be disliked for being the best and disliked for being godly and upright, but I would rather much be persecuted with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Thank you for listening to Sounding Out the Word podcast, a preaching ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. We are located in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it's our desire to have you visit us at one of our church services at the next appointed time. We meet as God's people for Sunday school classes of all ages at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday mornings, and then our 11 o'clock worship service where we come together as the people of God and sing and rejoice in God's goodness to us, and then listen to a Bible message that will challenge and encourage our hearts. That's at 11 o'clock on Sundays, and then at 6 o'clock we come back for our family evening service, all gathered together once again to hear another message from the Word of God that will then challenge us and encourage us to live for God throughout the week. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.